If you were able to see the Ville Platte Gazette of this past Thursday, it was a lovely article about one of our parishioners, Miss Stephanie Andrus, who along with Miss Pichita Monaro from Sacred Heart have been coordinating our annual Walk for Life, showing our stand as Catholics for the dignity and value of human life from conception to natural death. Tomorrow marks the 45th anniversary of the infamous Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion in this country. And of course, we stand for the dignity of life. Question is, why? Why do we do that? Why do we consider life so important? And why is this issue itself so important? Well, because God thinks so. God is love, and God creates life. Life and love go together. They always do. And when our actions do not show the love of God, when our actions deprive others of life, there's a problem, and we need to fix that. In the first reading from the book of Jonah, we see the Ninevites there, who were not Jewish people, by the way. They had no idea of the Jewish law. They didn't understand a thing about it. They were pagans, and their lives were far away from God. So then God chooses a Jewish prophet to go to them and speak the truth and call them out of their wicked ways to lead them out of evil. Now, in the Old Testament mindset, of course, God points a finger and causes bad things to happen, but as Christ reveals to us, that's not what happens. Evil carries with it its own punishment. For example, if we're in a room illuminated with light, and we decide to leave the room ourselves, and we stumble and fall and get hurt, whose fault is that? The light doesn't change, the light didn't move, we change, we move. Same with God. He doesn't change, he doesn't move, but he calls us back to him. That's exactly what Nineveh needed to do, and Jonah went to preach that to them. But when God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he threatened to do to them and did not carry it out. By their actions, they came back. Not by mere words, not by mere wishes or goodwill, they actually did something with their lives to show they were going to be united to God in a relationship of love for him, and of course to receive life from him. Many of you might remember the song from back in the 1970s, sung by Billy Joel, where the words say, "I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life. Go ahead with your own life, leave me alone." Well, that's the shout back that we hear from the world concerning the gospel. If we, like Jonah, try to bring the world the truth, that's exactly what we hear. You do your thing, I do mine, this is my life. We try to mention Christ, who is the way, the truth, the life, who gives us pure joy and happiness, the way to salvation, the world says, I don't care. I don't care what you say, I don't care what God says, and furthermore, you can't judge me. We hear it all the time. This is my life, it's my body, it's my mind, I'll do with it what I want to do with it. And then we might hear some vulgar things after that, more often than not. Some will go even further as to say, there is no God. There's no proof that Jesus ever existed anyway. The Bible is just a fairy tale and religion is poison. Keep in mind that the people who have the comfort of saying these things don't realize that they're only able to do so because they're living in a world that has been shaped by the Judeo-Christian ethic for over 1,000 years, well over 1,000 years. It's because we value a person's freedom, as God does. We also value a person's dignity. So yeah, you can make a fool of yourself if you want to and be free from judgment, but what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And there is nothing in this civilized Western world, nothing good that it has received, and nothing good that the world has received, if not from the Christian faith. Any historian worth his or her salt can tell you that. Nothing. If we were to go back in time to the pagan world and see the ignorance and superstition, the darkness, the death, the violence, and the lack of respect for human life and dignity, we would thank God 1,000 times for Christianity and how it shaped us today. There's no doubt. Now, while there have been certain individuals, so-called Christians, in the past and the present, who by their words or by their behavior have given Christianity a black eye and a bad name, There are countless others, hundreds of thousands, as we should be, known and unknown, who by their love for Christ, by their faithfulness to the gospel, to the church, their love for their neighbor, have put the faith into practice, by their actions have shown God at work. They, like we, want to be holy. They pray as we should be praying. They seek God as we should be seeking God. They want to do what is good, to create a place for beauty, for harmony, and for peace in the world as we should be seeking the very same thing. They search for truth, and they find this truth in Christ as we would, and seek to live by that truth, praying as we heard in Psalm 25, "Your ways, O Lord, make known to me and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. The Lord guides the humble to justice, and he teaches the humble his way." When we humble ourselves before God and we consider this great mystery of life, then we come to realize it's all a gift. It's all a gift. Everything in the world and the world itself given to you and to me as a gift for us to use and to care for responsibly. This world that we inhabit was crafted by divine wisdom. Every being in this world, again, crafted by divine wisdom with meaning and purpose, not just some random accident of evolution. As we heard St. Paul tell us last week, we are not our own, and we're not. We are God's. We've been purchased for the Father by the blood of his Son. Therefore, our bodies, our minds, our souls, our lives, everything about us, not our own to do with as we see fit. The life of our neighbor, again, not ours to control or to enslave. We and they all are God's. We are Christ's. And once again, what makes our faith superior to all others is simply that. It's love. No other religion preaches the love of God the Father for his creation. And the love that the Father asks us to give him in return simply by obeying his commandments, which are for our own good anyway. And for us to do good for one another, to do good to one another. As I said, love and life, inseparable. God loves us, and God creates life. In his love for creation, God makes man and woman in his own image. He calls man and woman together in his own divine image, in love for one another, to make a committed union of love, and in that love to bring forth and create new life. Out of love for one another, God asks us all to sustain human life. He tells us to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to house the homeless, to educate those who are uneducated, to heal the sick, in a word, to protect and defend and promote human dignity for all of his children. It is not for us to intentionally harm or to destroy any kind of life, especially human life, for selfish pleasure. Human life is great. Human life is different from the rest of creation because it can love. Sadly, we must kill lesser beings. We must kill plants. We must kill animals to sustain human life. That's part of our lot because of original sin. We know that sometimes it might even be necessary to kill a human being when that person threatens the life or legitimate good of another. But when we pass laws to legalize things like killing the unborn, the elderly, the sick, anytime that we decide to murder or threaten harm for selfish gain or sick pleasure, these things are not just unchristian, they are inhuman, definitely inhuman. Nobody has to tell us this. We know that. Every one of us has an instinct to survive. We want to live. And even after we know we're going to die, and we'd like to have our memory remembered after that. People know who we were, what we did. We know deep down inside that human life is good. We know deep down inside that extinguishing human life, even if permitted or necessary, is not always a good thing. We are Christians. Like the apostles, you and I have been chosen by Christ to call the world to repentance, to repent ourselves, and invite the world to do likewise. To believe in the gospel of life, as we preach the gospel of life. But that's a gospel that the world simply does not want to hear. And we see that more and more every day. But where has their mentality led? this my body, my life, my choice mindset, where does that go? It's defiance in the face of God. And because of that, we're going to suffer. Death always begets death. The world screams for birth control, and yet God says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. But here we are, fruitless and depleting. The world screams for abortion when God says, you shall not kill. And we wonder what happens when we legalize abortion. Murder rates go up and human life is cheapened. God creates marriage between the man and woman to be a committed relationship until death and to bring forth new life, as Christ himself said. But yet we say, I want to marry who I want, when I want, and have sex whenever I want. And what happens with that? Suffering and depravity. When we turn against God, we become less than God. And we're made in his image and likeness, but we destroy ourselves and we become like the animals. And then there's the law of the jungle to either kill or be killed. And Christ says, no. You're made in my image and likeness. Love one another as I have loved you. Love, be open to, and sustain life. God told us through Moses, I set before you life and death. I set before you truth and falsehood, wisdom and ignorance. Choose life that you may live. Choose love that you may live. Love me, love one another, sustain the goodness of life. For the world that as it is, so anti-life, as St. Paul says, is passing away and passing quickly. May we not perish with it.